train above.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Did Denny Hamlin let Joey Logano off the hook, and will he come to regret it? We're heading to Las Vegas with a spot in the Final Four on the line. Hi, this is Brett McMillan. You're listening to the Pit Reporters. With me this week, Lee Spencer from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com, and Reed Spencer from the NASCAR Wire Service.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
And welcome to the show. Glad to have Lee and Reed here. And boy, we do have a lot to talk about. Let's just start off. We brought up Denny Hamlin. He gets out of the car after the Roval race and says, I wish somebody had told me that if I passed Ross Chastain, it would have knocked, you know, that it kept Joey Logano in the playoffs. And nobody let me know that. But Lee, do you think it really would have made a difference? Would he have backed off and let Chastain stay in?
Potentially. I asked Denny Hamlin afterwards, you know, is there still bad blood between the two of you? And he said, what do you think? And so it's like, I just really didn't have a good feel for the situation at that moment. And you know what it's like. I mean, at least you have a producer in your ear. I'm down there winging it, right?
Yeah.
So it's a little different dynamic for me. You know, I felt bad kind of putting Denny on the spot because, I mean, at the point I just kind of walked up and he and Gail were exchanging words, and I'll just leave it at that because I really didn't want to eavesdrop. I kind of gave them, you have to show the driver crew chief relationship some respect when you walk up.
Absolutely.
You have to let them know you're here. You're ready to go when, you know, they're comfortable letting you go. You don't want to interfere or, you know, kind of jump in on that conversation. But then again, you got a job to do too. And you've probably noticed this in your job as being pit reporter, that the post-race debrief is becoming more of a thing now. And they want that fresh opinion or that fresh feel from the driver more so than you used to be able to walk on in there, get the comment and go.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You can read the conversation by, you know, just by looking at it. You could read the driver by looking at them, whether or not the time is to approach them. But, you know, he said, I wish, you know, nobody had told me where things stood. But, you know, in the last 2 weeks, though, Reed, he let, in the broader sense, let Chase Elliott and Joey Logano into the final eight.
Well, indeed, that's the case. He did not certainly do that with Chase Elliott intentionally, but as it turned out, because he ran Bubba Wallace into the wall, that's what happened in the race. But the thing you've got to remember is a couple of things. One, it was Denny Hamlin whom Ross knocked out of the Final Four when he rode the wall and did the Hail Melon at Martinsville. Okay, that's number one. Number two is NASCAR has warned the teams not to discuss points unless you're directly involved in the situation, because the two bad words race manipulation can come up. And, you know, although Denny said he would have liked to have had that choice, I'm sort of glad that he didn't, because it's almost damned if you do and damned if you don't. He felt like Ross is the guy who could knock him out of the Final Four, but he also felt that Joey, if he survives to Phoenix, is the most dangerous driver there. So, you know, it's like door number one, door number two.
And, yeah. And
let's make a deal.
Yeah, exactly.
And what is a zonk?
Well, that's the thing. The thing is, I mean, if Ross hadn't made the pit road mistakes that he made, then this is not even an issue.
That's correct.
Because one time he ran off the end of pit road and ends up in, you know, up against the wall. Then another time he ends up speeding on pit road when he was already in the position to be better than Logano and ahead of Logano in the points lead.
Unfortunately, Ross did himself in.
And he admitted that.
But that being said, when William Byron was on Zoom this week with the NASCAR media, he basically said he looks at all the scenarios going into the race, so no one has to tell him what's going on. He's already processing the strategy, the bigger picture. My question is, where the hell has Toyota been with working together as a whole the last 3 weeks? I mean, this started with Ty Gibbs. It, you know, went on at Kansas with the whole Bubba situation. You had five Toyotas up there and none of them brought the hardware home at Kansas. That was embarrassing. If I'm Toyota, I'm embarrassed by that. And I'm asking myself, if I'm corporate, what the hell happened there? And at least Bubba and Christopher Bell had the wherewithal to say, how could you screw the manufacturer like that? Yes, you're thinking 60. 60 is just like big over his head. This is what I want. This is what I need. But at the end of the day, he screwed them all.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much true. I mean, you know, it was a bizarre set of circumstances that put Chase Elliott in victory lane that day. But, you know, in Ross's case, you know, I would argue that they made three pit road mistakes. The last one, and Paul Wolf mentioned this, he said, I'm shocked that they didn't cover me when we pitted late because Ross had the fastest car. And what he ended up having to try to do was to hold on degraded tires for 22 laps. And, you know, he ran wide, slipped in turn seven, and that's when Denny got by him on the last lap. He would have probably been better off. I mean, hindsight is 2020, but he probably would have been better off had he pitted when Logano did and just tried to outrun him.
And, you know, as you look at this and talk about the drama, because I had Logano's pit, and for the last two stages of the race, they were giving Logano Ross's lap times every time by. And this is... You think about this, and for all the talk now that we're hearing, rumblings that we may go back to the original, the old point system of 1 to 36 and not have a playoff, I'm thinking, what would we be talking about today? What would we have been talking about Sunday if it hadn't been for the playoff picture and all the drama that went with that? Shane Van Gisbergen winning by 17 seconds?
As Joey Logano said after the race, you know, exactly that. What would we have been talking about? Shane kicking everyone else's butt. And that would have been it pretty much. Now, of course, there was a lot involved in that. Five straight road course wins, one shy of Jeff Gordon. The fact that he was able to do the last stint on two pit stops instead of three, which the other two front runners required. But that's pretty much the end of the story.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I mean, he's been dominant on the road courses. And, okay, if we go to the 1 to 36, your fans are going to be screaming that a guy with five wins isn't even in the top 10 points.
Well, I kind of had that conversation. And he, you know, being like full on rookie now and what he was able to do at Kansas to get that top 10. And I want to see what he does at Las Vegas, you know, just kind of see if the progress is there, because I don't think Kansas was a fluke for him. I think he is just really a student of the sport. His wife, she's, you know, an engineer with General Motors. And so, you know, he has the data and he can pull from that, knows what's going on. So that everything from that standpoint is advantageous for him. He just doesn't have the NASCAR background yet to be a player. What, you know, once everything starts clicking for him, he'll be in the mix. You know, does he deserve to be that guy who ends up in the championship four? You know, who knows? Because a lot of, you know, there's a lot that happens throughout the course of 35 races to get you to race 36. If I had told you right now that Tyler Reddick really wasn't even a factor getting to the round of eight, other than winning the pole for, you know, Saturday for Sunday's race, you might have said, Tyler, you know, what happened? He was last year's regular season champion. It's so cyclical. You have to throw all that in there. And then you have to throw who is getting hot at the right time. And for me, that might be Logano, right? Just because this is the time of year when he gets good.
Well, you know, first of all, to your point, Shane Van Gisbergen, I watched him closely at Kansas. I was upstairs in the press box, and he was extremely impressive at Kansas. He was 11th in green flag passes, and that's after starting with a pass through to pit road, going a lap down with no one to pass.
Rear of the field, and no, his crew chief, Stephen Torn, had been ejected.
So he spent the first 90 laps a lap down or more, and had no one to pass except for Michael McDowell. So the fact that he came back in the last 177 laps and was 11th in green flag passes was pretty impressive. But, you know, on the other hand, as far as him being in the final four or not goes, I would argue that, as you know, no matter what the format, whether it's 36 races, whether it's the elimination format we have now, whether it was the chase with 10 races, the championship is a test of all racetracks. And, you know, you have to be good at everything in order to be the champion. And I don't think he's quite there yet.
All right. Well, I want to talk about what happened at the Roval, because if you really go back and look at it, all 3 days followed the script to a T. In the meantime, we'll give you this week's Pit Reporter question. And it was, should Hamlin have stayed behind Chastain and eliminated Logano? Yes or no? Last week, we asked you who had the best chance of moving into the round of eight. Turned out nobody did. 44% thought Tyler Reddick. And they basically ended up having to throw a Hail Mary and it didn't work for him. 35% said Ross Chastain. 15% said Bubba Wallace. And 6% said Austin Cindric, who unfortunately was eliminated pretty much from the beginning of the day when he got taken out. When we come back, we'll talk about what else happened at the Roval. Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. And I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 95,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure you drive away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner, the official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Whether it's skating around the racetrack on a set of rollerblades or turning laps in a Legends car, join J.C. Fickinshire on J.C.'s Garage.
All it takes is one win, and that one win can completely clear the driver's mind. I could even see it happening if Todd Gilliland wins a race, or Noah Gregson wins a race, Zane Smith wins a race. These guys are guys who are just searching for one win, one chance.
J.C.'s Garage, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with Reed Spencer from the NASCAR Wire Service, Lee Spencer from CatchFence.com, and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. I said going into the break, and Lee, you were talking about it during the break, that if you were to sit there and make a prediction before the weekend started for the trucks, the Xfinity, and Cup, you would have said, well, it's hard not to say that the weekend's going to be Heim, Zilich, and Van Gisbergen. And you would have been absolutely right if you went to the casino and bet on all three of those guys, because that's exactly the way the weekend turned out. Heim wins for the 10th time, which I think ties the Truck Series record. Zilich wins for the 10th time and has 17 straight top fives now, which is incredible. And then, once again, Van Gisbergen wins for the 5th straight time on a road course, which That's the record for consecutive wins on a road course, right?
No, six is Jeff Gordon. Jeff Gordon, 97 to 2000.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, that part of the weekend played out exactly like we expected it to.
There had to be a prop bet somewhere for those three, don't you think, Reed?
No, there might have been, but you wouldn't have gotten very good odds, though, because...
bet 100 to win 90 or they, something like that.
They were all prohibitive favorites.
And, yeah.
But what the two kids are doing, you know, Hyman's Illich, it's just really fun to watch because they're just clicking and their teams are clicking. And I really don't get the sense that there is a team on the Cup side that's doing what those two are doing right now. You know, we don't have the number 48 at their heyday with Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus. And shout out to Chad Knaus for winning the Smoky Unique Award on Sunday.
Well, that's because we have the next gen car too. I mean, you know, it has pretty much leveled the playing field in terms of equipment.
It had.
I mean,
there's next gen the first year when the playing field was even, and then there's the last 2 years where the three juggernauts that had the most factory backing in the garage have taken over.
Well, true, but it has prevented one team like Jimmy Johnson from coming to the front and dominating the way he did.
So that's all NASCAR had to do? Instead of changing the playoff format as many times as they did, they just needed to give us a new car, right?
That's exactly right.
And move the championship race from Phoenix, apparently.
There you go.
Yeah, as long as it's in Phoenix, I mean, which it is for the last time this year, you've got to look at the Team Penske cars as perhaps the favorites. You know, the thing is that last year when Logano got his reprieve, when Alex Bowman was DQ'd for under minimum weight, Logano won the following week at Las Vegas and then set his sights completely on Phoenix and won that race. We'll see. I mean, this year, I think the situation's a bit different because if you judge from Kansas, where Logano finished 21st, he did not have the speed to compete on a 1.5-mile speedway with the Toyotas or with the fastest of the Hendrick cars. So, you know, can he win Las Vegas again? They're going to have to find some speed in order to do so.
Well, and that's been a problem for them most of the year. But,
yes.
But going back to what happened at the Roval, I can't remember a year, Lee, where you look at the Truck Series, Xfinity, and Cup, and a given weekend where you look at this and say, these are the three shoe-ins for this weekend. I mean, think about how dominant Heim and Zilich have been in their respective series. And, yeah, you can sit there and say, yeah, they're in the best equipment, but there are other guys driving for Junior Motorsports, too, in the Xfinity Series. And Justin Allgaier is having a great year. There's no doubt about that. He's got three wins. And, you know, he's got 13 stage wins. And he's 24 points above the cut line right now. But, you know, the other guys aren't piling up outside of those two, aren't piling up the same type of numbers, even close to what Zilich is doing.
And I had to say to Carson Quapel, on a normal year when there wasn't somebody like a Connor Zilich, you would be having a decent season. Nobody expects you, I would say, to go out and win that first year necessarily. If you do, you're a standout, right? If you start winning in your rookie season, Trucks, Xfinity, you're going to start getting moved into that next category. You are a next kind of driver. But I can't take anything away from what Carson Quapel's accomplished. And to be a rookie and to make it to the round of eight as a freshman, I think that that's quite the accomplishment. Normally we'd be saying, hey, look at that rookie. He's doing really well. He's moved on in the playoffs. But wait a second. There's Connor Zilich, right? You know, and Connor Zilich has just set the bar so high that that's what we're looking at.
Well, there's a difference between Heim and Zilich. For one thing, you know, Heim is back in the Truck Series dominating because there was no place to put him in the Toyota hierarchy. So, you know, he came in experienced and started winning from the beginning of the season. If you recall, Zilich won early on road courses, but he didn't win his first traditional NASCAR race until Pocono. And that was mid-season.
I'm sorry, that was only three turns.
that's true.
The team actually teased him about it being a trial.
Well, then he won quickly thereafter on a legit oval. So, but at any rate, I mean, he is a sponge. He absorbs like crazy. He's already got the talent. I mean, he's a generational talent in terms of his feel of the car. And it just took him a little while to get the technique of racing on traditional NASCAR tracks, and now he's dominant.
Well, you think about it, you know, he got hurt at Talladega, missed the next week at Texas.
Yep.
Kyle Larson gets in his car and wins at Texas. And ever since then, and he went, you talk about him, he goes to school on stuff. And I've talked to Marty Lindley about this. He is a sponge. He learns this stuff. And he looked and saw what Kyle Larson was able to do in his car, went back, studied it, and he has not finished outside the top five since he came back.
That's right.
Well, and, you know, you also have to throw in Parker Kligerman as well.
Finish another race at Daytona for him.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's a, you know, another time when a backup guy got in and won. And why Marty Lindley? I still haven't asked Marty, and I guess I need to, because I really want to know what was his decision not to move on with Connor. I mean, I know he and Dale Jr. are childhood friends, and they've been together a long time, and maybe he's just looking for that next driver that he gets to work with. But
maybe he just wants Sundays off.
Yeah, but, you know, how do you ever... This is lightning in a bottle, and you're never going to get that next Connor Cilage. I mean, Scott Zipidelli, once Corey Heim moves on, you know, this is like one of those once-in-a-lifetime opportunities.
Well, did he have a choice? That's the question.
Well, true. But you just kind of have – they've got such magic. You just wonder.
Yeah. Well, they're all doing amazing things, and it's been interesting to watch this throughout the season and to see if it carries on. At least, you know, I think everybody expects it for Shane Van Gisbergen to carry on into next year again. And all you talked to all these guys after the race the other night at Charlotte and the Roval. But we see no end to this with Shane Van Gisbergen at road courses. I mean, Christopher Bell was the only guy to win on a road course this year that was not Shane Van Gisbergen, and that was at COTA. And he and Kyle Larson gave him a run for his money. It was just a different pit strategy that put them 17 seconds back.
That's absolutely true. But, I mean, Larson did say after the race, he was just toying with us. And
they had no choice to pit because what else? You know,
yeah,
they had
run out of tires.
Nothing left in their arsenal. You know, it's like, okay, let's try something. Let's try tires because nothing is working with this guy. I mean, he's just in another zip code.
Well, and I will tell you, I was covering his pit on Sunday. His pit crew, give those guys a track house credit, man. They were money all night long, under 10 second stops pretty much every time they came in. They were flawless. And you know, give those guys credit too, because they kept him out front.
Oh, they certainly did. I mean, he never lost more than one spot. I recall when Larson beat him off Pent Road that one time,
yeah.
but you know, they were money.
Yeah.
And he did that with a backup tire carrier in Drew Morgan, who, a 13-year veteran in the sport, wasn't supposed to pit on Sunday. But when the original carrier got injured putting up the box, Drew Morgan came off the bench, won his very first cup race in 13 years. And this is a guy who has pitted for Hendrick and Joe Gibbs Racing.
There you go. It is a team effort. When we come back, a lot of questions about whether or not the Roval is the right race to run in the fall at Charlotte. We'll discuss that when we come back.
Attention investors. This is a simple commercial on the investment value of gold. Gold continues to make new highs. In good markets and in bad markets, you need to have your portfolio balanced with gold. Learn about owning physical gold or getting a gold-backed IRA. Make this simple call right now.
800-308-4648. 800-308-4648. That's 800-308-4648.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold. We're offering a 100% risk-free gold guide. Gold continues to make new highs. And unlike stocks, gold has never been worth zero. You owe it to your nest egg and future to own some physical gold or set up a gold-backed IRA. Call right now for your free report.
800-308-4648. 800-308-4648. That's 800-308-4648.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
It's a drag race for the race lead. We're racing here.
The NASCAR Cup Series heads to Vegas.
Bowman on the inside, Austin Cindric on the outside. He'll cut the nose on Alex Bowman right on his back bumper as they head into one.
Wow, he comes off two like shot out of a cannon. He goes right around Cindric. Now he'll go after Logano.
It is Chevy versus Toyota. Toyota on the inside with Bubba Wallace. He cuts down to the apron.
A South Point 400, Sunday, October 12th at 4:30 Eastern on PRN. Saturday, October 11th. NASCAR Xfinity Series heads to Vegas.
Jesse Love goes and cuts down in front of Josh Williams. There's Austin Hill, cannot get the outside line going.
Now he drives up beside Jesse Love. Sam Mayer is going to lead that lap as the pack heads back to one.
Brian Sieg moving all over the racetrack, upside, downside.
It's the Focustel 302, Saturday, October 11th at 7 Eastern on PRN. Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with Lee Spencer from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com, and Reed Spencer from the NASCAR Wire Service. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, a lot of folks have been talking, Lee, since Sunday about the Roval, and they feel like, some people feel like it's run its course. They'd like to go back to the traditional mile and a half that we see run for the Coke 600, not a 600-mile race, obviously, but go back to the 400-mile race that we used to see in the fall at Charlotte, because they say that this car, the Gen 7 car, runs great at mile-and-a-half tracks, and they feel like it's time to go back to that and run that car at Charlotte in the fall instead of the Roval. Where do you come down on this?
All I can say, if you watch the battle between SVG and Larson and Christopher Bell, if you were not entertained, I don't know how you can call yourself a race fan. The cool thing about the Roval, particularly if you're up in the press box like Reed is, or, you know, calling the race from the PRN or anywhere up in the stands with the rest of the fans, you can see the entire track. What's there not to enjoy? I mean, that's the cool thing about the Roval, is it gives you so many vantage points. I compared it the other day to a three-ring circus. You don't know where to put your eyes because, you know, you can only go in so many directions, but there's something for everybody.
I mean, what was missing with the race that we had on Sunday? Tires mattered. You could pass. There were lots of different strategies. You had a hugely dramatic battle between Joey Logano and Ross Chastain for the final playoff spot. I mean, that, as an aside, that tells me that the Roval should be the cutoff race, because we've had exciting races for the cutoff. I mean, remember in the first year when Larson was about a minute late bouncing off the walls to get the final playoff spot in a tiebreaker. I mean, I love the Roval. I think it has been improved greatly with the addition of the hairpin in turn seven, because that's now a passing zone.
Huge passing zone.
And you know, it's also a difficult corner. It's a low-speed corner, and, you know, it requires a lot of gumption to get through there. So, I mean, what's not to like?
Well, and it's a challenge for crew chiefs to set up, because you've got the challenge of the road course in the infield, but you also have the challenge of setting up for the, you know, the banking that you have to deal with, because they said, you hear them talking about it, they got load management, you got to deal with it. But if you set up for the load management with the turns, the banking and the turns, then it's going to cost you in the infield.
And that's one of the engineers told me that he thought that they've used the same tire codes for all six of the road course races this year. The reason that we had degradation to a much greater degree at the Roval, he said, or he opined, was because of the effect of the oval and the high banking on the tires, as opposed to the other road courses where you don't have that degree of stress on the rights.
I mean, the only scenario I can see in which you would not have the Roval in the playoffs is if if Charlotte Motor Speedway intermediate track is the season finale. And that was bandied around after Kansas City, because I don't think any of us would disagree that the intermediate tracks put on the best show with this current configuration of the car.
And we're already adding Chicagoland Speedway next 4th of July weekend. They're already selling tickets. And so we're getting an intermediate back in favor of a road course next year. So we've only got 5 road courses and we've got one more intermediate. So that's going to be a help.
And here's the thing that I think about a lot. There's been a lot of talk lately about tracks don't need 2 dates. And you know, there's been a movement towards that, and we're not going to see the schedule cut down. It's still going to be 36 races in the regular season. But this is a track with 2 dates, but you're not running the same track twice. It's a completely different track the second time when you come back.
Makes perfect sense. And, you know, you're not going to get rid of the crown jewels. I mean, you'd be foolish. I mean, they did at Indy for a while, but you know, I will again say that I thought that this car at Indy on the Oval was better than this car on the Grand Prix circuit.
Yeah, I agree with that. And, you know, I mean, we already run 600 miles on the Charlotte Oval. Please keep the Roval. I mean, I really like the Roval, and I like the action there. I like the drama of the cutoff race. And, you know, who knows? I mean, we may not have cutoff races next year, but you know, that all remains to be seen. I've had some conversations in those respects too, and there are a lot of different opinions being bandied about right now.
A lot of scenarios. Yeah, we talk about it being in the playoffs or being a cutoff race next year, and none of us know anything at this point. I think everything's on the table, it sounds like.
So, it does.
Yeah, we'll see. When we come back, this could be the quietest, silly season ever. But we know one guy's kind of hanging out there that hasn't announced anything yet. We'll see if he's got something waiting out there in the wings. Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars. And I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
In addition to traditional summer camp, Victory Junction also hosts family weekends, partner programs, and day camps. And the Victory Junction Outreach Program takes camp fun beyond our gates to children at hospitals and partner sites throughout North Carolina, South Carolina, and Virginia. Victory Junction makes the impossible accessible.
This is a place that needs to be here 50 years from now, 100 years from now. We are never going to run out of kids that can benefit from Victory Junction.
Discover how you can get involved at victoryjunction.org.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if we did.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good, others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, race fans, head over to echopark.com/speedway and enter for a chance to win a Toyota Tundra, plus a brand new Thor camper. Visit echopark.com/speedway now, and you can drive off a winner. We welcome you back to the Pit Reporters, along with Reed Spencer and Lee Spencer. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, the one name we know that's hanging out there in silly season, Reed, is Daniel Suarez. There have been rumblings that he could end up in the Xfinity Series, but I keep hearing that the Xfinity Series is not where he wants to run. He wants to stay in Cup.
Definitely wants to stay in Cup. And, I mean, there's not a lot of opportunity in the Cup Series right now, but, you know, one of the persistent rumors is that he may replace Justin Haley in the 7 car at Spire Motorsports.
And yet, nothing's been said about Justin Haley's future at this point.
Absolutely.
He is not out of the ride as we know.
No, nothing at all.
So that makes it interesting. And I know, Lee, there's a lot hanging out there that we don't know how. And I don't want to get into this whole lawsuit thing because that could have huge ramifications.
Yeah.
Once we, you know, that could open up some other things as well. Anything else? I mean, obviously, there have been some the crew chief change at Childress. We've talked about that with Randall Burnett going over to be Zilich's crew chief at Cup next year with Trackhouse. And then we've got, he's being replaced by Andy Street. As of now. And that's, I don't know if that is for beyond this year. It would make sense at this point that it would be kind of a precursor for next year to get these guys together.
Andy's the one that has been overseeing the limited ride with the two Xfinity drivers, Jesse Love and Austin Hill. So he was Austin Hill's crew chief in the Xfinity Series before he took this new job to kind of oversee the development of those guys to take them to the next level in Cup. And so I think that they're looking outside of the company and inside. People I've talked to, and I talked to Kyle Busch about it specifically on Saturday, but front office, they said Kyle's got a long list, even though Kyle, the politically correct answer he gave us was that was up to Mike Verlander, who's now president of RCR and RC, Richard Childress. So you can't think that as pathetic of a run as the 8 car has had this season that Kyle Busch would not have input into who's going to make the calls for him. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But something has to be done because I have never seen anybody fall so quickly. And, you know, being a champion and then just years later, just can't even put a top 10 on the board.
Well, I know who Kyle Busch's crew chief is going to be.
Okay, good.
Kyle Busch.
Well, that's what was this year. I think that was part of the problem.
That was Rusty Wallace's crew chief for years. Yeah. Rusty Wallace.
That's right.
Hey, I want to do this. Well, let's try this, Rusty. Nope, I want to do this.
Raise the track bar.
So, but, you know, and I know that, you know, we know that Legacy Motor Club has picked up another, you know, they resolved their issue with Rick Ware Racing, but they're not going to get that charter, or they're not going to keep the charter for next year. It's going to stay with Rick Ware Racing, which is going to allow Priest to continue to drive for Roush Fenway for another year. So that's closed off. I don't know of any open rides at this point in time. Do you guys? It doesn't sound like there're going to be any open rides.
It's, you know, I don't think there are any in Cup right now, other than, you know, perhaps some people leaving rides and other people coming into rides, but there aren't any open rides.
I would say stop the rumors about Alex Bowman right now. I think the rumors about Alex Bowman are started by people who want Alex Bowman's seat. I think that, you know, bottom line, that's that. But, I mean, there was a lot of that debate on Sirius on Tuesday, too. You know, basically, okay, who do you get rid of? Would Ty Gibbs still be there if his last name wasn't Ty Gibbs? Would Austin Cindric still be there if his father hadn't, you know, formerly been president of Team Penske? I mean, it's like the front office is going to decide these things. You guys can sit there and, you know, armchair quarterback as much as you want, but at the end of the day, those decisions will be made way ahead of our pay grade.
Bowman has 1 year left on his contract, and as usual, as he has been for the last 2 years, he seems confident that he will be back.
And so is Jeff Gordon.
So is
Jeff Gordon.
Can you remember a silly season, at least in Cup, that has been this quiet?
No. I mean, silence.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
I think the lawsuit has just really kind of taken over the headlines. We're, you know, probably 30% of the news has been coming out of that as opposed to competition, which I think that's why, you know, NASCAR wanted, once it settled, you know, as soon as they can possibly get it settled. On the other side of that, 2311 and Front Row think that they can win in court. So you have that dynamic going on, and I don't see anybody, you know, yelling uncle anytime
soon. Well, although I will say that the promising news from yesterday was that NASCAR has filed a request for a settlement conference.
Right.
And that, you know, that is a promising step.
And reportedly, 2311 has told their employees that they're good through 2026.
That's correct, too.
So that's encouraging news there. So we'll see how this all plays out in the Xfinity Series. We've seen a little bit of movement there, which is not unexpected. But, you know, we talked about the guys who, you know, like the Corey Himes and people like this that seem primed, ready to move up. The question is, where are they going to move to? And for Corey Heim, for instance, there's not a full-time ride anywhere above.
Well, except I think 26 car Sam Hunt Racing in the Xfinity Series is probably his full-time destination next year.
And then he'll run for the teams that he's been running for this season and then be the guy on the bench in case someone in the Toyota camp needs not a replacement, but a substitute.
It's going to be crazy. You got to imagine a guy like that has seen other people move up so quickly, and now he's kind of in this holding pattern. It's got to be a little frustrating for him.
Well, I mean, it's like Rick Hendrick said years ago, there's no room at the inn. I mean, is he going to replace anybody at Joe Gibbs Racing? Maybe he's the heir to Denny Hamlin in 2 years from now.
Yeah. Or Joe quits running this all-star car, but you'd have to have the sponsorship to do that.
Right.
To put him in that car. And that's sponsorship.
But there's no all-star cup car, though.
No, there's not. But you got kind of that all-star Xfinity car you could plug him into. But again, you got to have the sponsorship to do that.
It helps.
Yeah. Money. What a crazy thing. Speaking of money, I think there's a lot in Vegas, isn't there?
Yeah.
Some people leave some.
On a daily basis.
Some people leave some. We'll talk about Vegas when we come back.
Listen up, fellow timeshare owners. If you're a timeshare owner and you want out at all costs, you're done. Frustrated, tired of wasting money, you don't use the darn thing. Get out now. Hire the best bulldog timeshare cancellation team in the business. Their in-house legal team, headed by a timeshare cancellation lawyer, can help you fight the biggest and baddest companies out there that sell timeshare. At some point, you were using your timeshare, but now you're not, and you're tired of wasting money. Before you go to the poorhouse, call right now and learn how you can stop the maintenance fees and put more money back in your pocket. Their services cost you a lot less than you think, and you'll save a lot of money over time. Call the Timeshare Exit Hotline now. It's a free consultation.
800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. 800-890-5957. That's 800-890-5957.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Hi, this is Doug Rice at PRN. Join me every Monday night for another great episode of Fast Talk.
I watched the race on TV and they wanted to give him the mantle of greatest of all time, and he's won 4 races in a row. And so I can't do that yet. But I do think what we're watching is a guy who's changing the sport. He's changing the way the other drivers approach road racing. He's making them study. He's making them up their game.
That's Fast Talk right here on the Performance Racing Network.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back. I'll get Reed Spencer from the NASCAR Wire Service, Lee Spencer from SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, a year ago, Joey Logano got a reprieve from the governor and got back in the playoffs and went to Las Vegas and made a trip to Victory Lane and clinched himself a spot in the final eight. This year, Joey Logano got in by the hair on his chin and is going to Las Vegas 24 points below the cut line, Reed. And we know how well those Penske guys run at Las Vegas.
We do, but I will say that from the speed that I saw at Kansas, where Joey finished 21st, you know, my money's on Blaney as far as Las Vegas goes. You know, I mean, Joey really needs to win. I mean, he's 24 points below, even though this is probably the most compact field we've had in the round of eight ever with Denny Hamlin, the favorite now, the number one seed, only being 8 points above the cut line. But I think with the position that Joey's in, he's going to have to win one of the next three races. And I know Lee has been doing some statistical analysis of what that means. And that Vegas race is pretty damn important.
33rd race of the season is important to Joey Logano because his three championships, he won race 33 and then went on to win the championship. So if they can do that, then Paul Wolf and company has those next 2 weeks just to do nothing but work on the championship car. That being said, I have always contended, although nobody from Penske will ever admit this, the fact that the IndyCar season gets over so early, they have all these engineers standing around with absolutely nothing to do, and you can't tell me that that think tank doesn't go into helping the NASCAR guys prepare for the title. Right now, if I had to look at compare the 12 and the 22, I would say Blaney's got an edge over the 22. 22 has the edge as far as winning championships, knowing how to win championships. Yeah, Blaney won a championship, but man, when you have Paul Wolf and that's just, you know, how you think and where your head is, it's hard to go against those guys.
Okay, but I got the one thing that works against your stat.
Yes.
Those all happened in even years.
That's right.
They did, but in the other, but the other cool thing.
So it could happen in race 34 this year.
Race 34.
Just because those happen in even years, something could. Yeah.
Well, the thing about it is though, Joey is breaking the curse this year. I mean, if he gets to the championship four, it will be the first time in an odd year that he's even made it to Phoenix. And much less won a championship when he's won all three of his in even years, obviously. But
in the last 11 playoff, since this playoff format was devised in 2014, five times the driver who has won race 33 has gone on to win the championship. The other two were Jimmy Johnson and Kyle Larson.
Well, and I was going to ask you about how important this race is. I mean, you look at Talladega's next, which we all say it's a wild card. Anybody could win Talladega. And then Martinsville, that's always a challenge for everybody. I think there are people who are better at Martinsville than others. But to your point, Lee, I think the most important thing, what makes Vegas extremely important is exactly your point, because if you win Vegas, you've got 2 weeks to get ready. You got two extra weeks to get ready for Phoenix.
And we know how Paul Wolf likes to prepare. I will bring out two situations where they look like damn geniuses. Last year when they had North Wilkesboro, they had the test there. Maybe it was 2 years. No, it was last year. They had the test there and they were just lights out. And that test helped them at every, you know, flatter mile track, whether it was New Hampshire, Gateway, or Phoenix. It just kind of all fell in line for those guys. He did the test at New Hampshire. I know Blaney ended up winning that race, but man, Joey was right there with him, which kind of goes back to my, I think the 22 performance-wise is a little bit behind the 12, but you could see how that benefited them, and it just... Paul Wolf makes more out of his tests. You know, you talk to people in the garage, other crew chiefs, or even Joey, and they will tell you that Paul Wolf, give Paul Wolf a test and he'll make the most out of it.
Well, let me throw out this question to go along with that. So Blaney wins at New Hampshire. That's now given Blaney 2 extra weeks to get ready for Vegas. Will we see that payoff?
I think Blaney has a much better chance of winning at Vegas because Blaney was better at Kansas. And if, I mean, you think about it, it's crazy given the history of NASCAR and how the 1.5 mile speedways used to proliferate throughout the schedule. It was 18 weeks or a full half the schedule crazy. Between the Coca-Cola 600 and the race at Kansas. And now we're going to have our second mile and a half speedway. So, you know, I think Blaney's in better position, as you say, to win that race. I also think that the winner of the Las Vegas race, not only is it critical to have those extra 2 weeks to prepare, but it's also critical not to have to go to Talladega and do anything, because you know that the guys who are on the bubble or even close going into Talladega are sweating bullets. And they are, you know, it's a white knuckle experience to go in there having to perform because of all the random stuff that can happen. So, you know, it's a big sigh of relief if you win at Las Vegas and don't have to worry about that.
That was the sense that you got from Chase Elliott after he won Kansas, was the fact that they could go to the Roval and there was no pressure on them. So you take a guy who's won at the Roval in the past, he could just really go out there and enjoy it. He had a top 10 finish, but we didn't talk about him all day. Maybe you guys did, but I, you know, he didn't pop up. Blaney, he also didn't have to worry about, you know, his performance at the Roval, but he still won a stage, you know, just the way things that hammered out. But, you know, it was interesting because you did, after Blaney won the stage, you really didn't talk about him either. I mean,
well, let's think how good Penske has been at Las Vegas. Who won the spring race? Josh Berry.
Yep, Josh Berry
which
did.
It's Wood Brothers, but they're a satellite Penske team. And once again, that tells you how good Penske's been. Logano won the race there last year at this for the fall race. I mean, they're certainly going to be the teams that everybody's putting the laser focus on.
You have to look for Larson, too, at Las Vegas, I think, because it seems to me that he's rounding into form. Did well at Kansas and then came to the Roval and did well at the Roval, you know, best in class. And so, you know, behind Van Gisbergen, I think Larson is somebody who also loves to run Las Vegas, does well there, and somebody to look out for as a potential winner there.
The two guys that intrigue me, Christopher Bell has been kind of quiet during this postseason, but he always seems to rise to the occasion during the postseason. He and Adam Stevens have something going where things click for him this time of year. Chase Briscoe seemed to really be on a roll for a minute. He's been kind of quiet the last couple of weeks, but they were really on a roll for a while there. And I think he could be dangerous this week.
Nobody's looking at Chase Briscoe, and he was certainly in the mix at Kansas as well. I'm really interested to see how Toyota handles this race, because as stout as they were at Kansas, I expect a similar performance out of the Toyotas. My question is, will the Toyotas, you know, have they cleaned up the mess? Because you have to look at big picture. Are they going to come out of here and work together better than they have the last 3 weeks?
And you know they've got speed. I mean, Chase Briscoe, breakout year as far as qualifying goes, 7 poles.
And getting into the round of 8 for the first time.
And getting into the round of 8. You know, I think he's a factor. He was clearly under the weather on Sunday. I mean, he basically asked both for a bag of ice and for meds during the course of the race, and took the bag of ice and stuffed it inside his driver's suit as he was on the track. But assuming that he's in top shape for Vegas, I think he'll be a factor there too.
Yeah, I think he's had a breakout year. And again, like you said, they were really on a roll there late summer and into the start of the playoffs. So I think I think you're right. I think Logano's 10 points below anybody else at this point.
Yeah.
He's 24 under the cut line. Elliott and Briscoe are both 14 points below the cut line. I mean, Logano is the guy that really has to do something and perform.
That's absolutely true. And what he has shown in past years is that he can. I mean, it's not a it's not an even numbered year, but he won the Vegas race in both his championship seasons.
Yeah. We'll see how it plays out. And we got white flag laps ahead. Stay with us.
Hey, this is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half of the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000, and car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
When it comes to maintaining your engine to run at peak performance, trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant. Z-Max soaks into metal, so it's easy to add to your oil or gas to disperse carbon buildup in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. Protect your vehicle's engine to the max with Z-Max. Check us out at zmax.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter to find out more about our full line of products. Remember the name, Z-Max, for your car, big rig, small engines, firearms, and more. That's Z-Max Micro Lubricant.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Grab a friend and pack the cooler. Saturday night racing returns to North Wilkesboro Speedway October 18th for the Z-Max Cars Tour Championship. See rising stars like Keelan Harvick compete against Short Track Racing's best in season finals for Pro Late Model, Late Model Stock, and the Smart Modified Tour. Party down North Wilkesboro style with the Z-Max Cars Tour Saturday, October 18th. For tickets, visit NorthWilkesboroSpeedway.com.
More than 200 members of Congress are standing up for AM radio listeners. The AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act will keep AM radio in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 39179. Tell Congress to pass this critical legislation now.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
All right, time for our white flag laps. And first up from SiriusXM Radio and also CatchVince.com, Lee Spencer.
Well, I think it's pretty slim that we're going to have a new winner, or I should say a non-playoff winner, come through, break through over the final four races this season. There's just too much on the line, but I would say that with everything that's going on in Tyler Reddick's life right now with his son Rookie and, you know, trying to figure out a medical solution for him, nothing could be better than getting a win. I saw him smile like I've never seen him smile when he won the pole on Saturday, and keeping the Reddick family in our thoughts. And hey, if he could get a win, I think we'd all be Reddick fans this week.
Absolutely. Yeah, our thoughts and prayers certainly go with the Reddick family. It's hard to imagine going through that as a parent, as we all are parents with an infant, to say the least. Next up from the NASCAR Wire Service, Reed Spencer.
No matter what happens, it looks like this year is going to be the last year of the currently constituted elimination playoffs. Whether we go to a full 36 race season, which a lot of the titans of the sport, like Mark Martin, Richard Petty, Dale Inman, Hall of Famers all, are advocating for, or whether we go to something like a four race playoff format, maybe a 3-3-4 configuration, remains to be seen. But all I can say is that we had a little hint of that when NASCAR.com posted the schedule for next year. Only the last four races on that schedule were listed as playoff races. So we'll see. Maybe that's a hint. Maybe not. Maybe it's just the way they wanted to put it out there. But I know we're probably in the last year of this current format, and it's going to be really interesting to see what they come up with to replace it.
You know what that means? We're going to have to do math.
That's right. Well, we already do.
Well, yeah, it's really going to be really bad. All right, real quickly, I just want to make a salute to one of our co-workers here at PRN. This will be his last weekend on the air at PRN. I've had the pleasure of working with Mark Garrow for the last 30 years here at Performance Racing Network. He is the broadcaster's broadcaster. He's a professional, and we're going to miss Mark. So, Mark, have a great weekend here at Las Vegas. We're going to miss you after this.
Bravo.
Riding off into the sunset. We'll talk to you next week.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.